For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, guys, welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so. I'm really excited to introduce you to our in-studio guest. Today, we are joined by Rob Hare. He is the superintendent and CEO of the Maryland School for the Blind. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Gina.
Good to have you in studio. I think we might have had you on via phone during the COVID era.
Yeah, probably so.
But nice to have you back in studio. And I know you guys have a big See Beyond Festival coming up.
That's
Saturday,
right.
April 26th, right?
Right.
11 to 3. We're going to get more into that in a little bit. But first up, it's always interesting to find out, first of all, like how long you've been in your role and what sort of personal connection led you to this really important work, because it's such a great field that your job has to be rewarding.
Right. Well, it is rewarding, in fact. And I've been in Maryland for the last 9 years, but I've been in this role for, this is my eighth year as the superintendent. And this, it's an honor to be in this role, first of all. But
yeah.
But I've been through the pandemic in this role. I've been in this leadership role through just a transitional time in a wonderful school.
Yes, absolutely. Right in our backyard in Baltimore, too, if people aren't as familiar with it, you know, as we might be, or definitely that you you are, obviously.
Right.
The great place to start is always with the simple question, what is the Maryland School for the Blind?
Well, the Maryland School for the Blind, I would, to make a broad statement about it, it is a statewide resource center for anyone who needs education who is blind or low vision. So we're not only a school, and we do have a traditional school on our campus here in Baltimore, but we serve students throughout the state of Maryland in all 24 jurisdictions. So we have teachers that go out into public schools and provide Braille and orientation and mobility, white cane travel skills. And we have students that come on campus just for summer camps and enrichment programs and technology camps and all kinds of things. But then we have a traditional, you know, like K through 12 program right on campus.
Wow. And this is all on Taylor Ave in Baltimore.
That's right.
Yeah. And which is where your See Beyond Festival is going to be as well. But can you tell us a little bit about the students you serve? And honestly, I didn't realize, well, obviously, hence the name Maryland School for the Blind, I didn't realize how comprehensive your services and how many people in our great state you reach, which is incredible.
Right. Well, it's over 1,400 students across the state that we touch every year. So it's not just the 220 or so that we have on the campus. And it is a residential and day population that we have on our campus. So we have residential students. So parents have to leave their babies on campus.
Yeah.
And we provide them with the daily living skills, such as, you know, how to cook and clean and take care of their daily living skills needs right on our campus. We give them that training. But then, like day students, they come back and forth, back from home every single day. But we provide that regular educational experience that the students need, like math and reading and writing, but in Braille and adapted, like large print, for example. But not only those skills, but highly adapted skills that blind children need. So when I talk about that, it's specialized things like technology for the blind. So all kids get technology. All kids learn how to use computers. They learn how to, you know, write their papers and research things on the internet, all these kinds of things. But we give the kids the skills to access those things. So a computer that talks to you, for example, or a Braille display. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Like, what? Tell us a little bit more about that. And a computer that talks to you, I can imagine, would be also very, very helpful.
I'm sure people have played on their phones or with a computer that you can have the speech output, you know, do that to you. But yeah, our students know how to use that very skillfully so that you can have it read exactly what you want it to read. But not only that, but there's these outputs called Braille displays. And what it basically is are these plastic pins that move up and down with the text that's on the screen. So it's like Braille that's refreshable. We call it refreshable Braille.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
Yeah. So,
what technology? I can't even, like, how long has that been in use, that technology?
I couldn't give you the exact, but it's been for years and years, yeah, for like 20 years or so.
That's amazing.
We, at one time when I first came in this field, 30 years ago, or so, it's been a while, but the predominant thinking was that technology like voice and on computers talking to you, all these things, the Braille was going to go away. But because of refreshable Braille, this technology that allows computers to create Braille instantaneously, Braille has become more widespread. People use Braille. Braille, and if for an educator, Braille is reading.
Yeah.
So we don't want anyone to think that you can just give a kid a book on tape or an audio recording and to consider that a replacement for reading. It's not a replacement for reading. And so our kids need to be able to write things down, write their term paper, write their phone number down, write
yeah,
their, you know, make notes right on the spot, or to read things in Braille, like a novel or whatever, in a way that everyone else reads. So listening to a book on audio, I love to do that.
Yeah, that's really great when you're traveling or you have a long commute or just if
right,
you just want to, you know, zone out right, a little bit and you don't feel like listening to music or whatever.
We all do, but yeah, don't you like to read a book once in a while?
Yes.
Just like regular.
I have a bunch on hold at BCPL. They're all like, you know, I'm in the queue. You know,
right,
you are 49 of 153 people that want to read the same book. But that's my little, I get in the queue now. And then when it comes for time for vacation or when you actually have time to read,
right,
you know, then they're ready for me to pick up and read. Yeah.
Right. So that little, you know, kind of thinking how important Braille is
yes,
how we got here from technology to Braille.
Yes, so, exactly.
So we make things accessible for our students with technology, but then making books accessible through Braille and making writing accessible through Braille. So there's a lot of things that we do are making the world accessible. So being able to travel with a white cane, using Braille, using large print, whatever the student needs, making the world more accessible so that they can access their curriculum is one of the big keys of what we do at the school.
That's huge. And honestly, speaking of the library, when you are getting books, you will notice large print books, you will notice audiobooks, you will notice all those things.
Right.
How did you get involved? You mentioned 30 years, which is incredible, serving, you know, the visually impaired. How did you get, why did you, you know, make this your mission? You know, because it's such important work. And I can't really imagine the Maryland School for the Blind without you. I mean, you have such a critical role. So what was it when you got out of school? You're like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Well, it's you know, it's quite by accident, actually. I mean, I do have, I had a grandfather who long since passed, but he was blind. He went blind when he was an adult,
mm-hmm,
through age, you know, age related blindness. But I would walk around the church with him, sighted guide. You know, I didn't even know what sighted guide, human guide meant. We call it human guide nowadays.
Yeah.
But walking with his hand in the crook of my elbow around church, for example, or helping him with a menu at a restaurant, I was very familiar with working with someone who had no sight. That was just something I grew up with my grandfather. So, and he'd cut the grass, blind.
he sounds like an amazing guy. That's amazing.
And he could fix small engines. He could fix transistor radios. He's like a really hobbyist kind of person.
Yeah.
He loved engines. But nevertheless, that was just like the foray into blindness, but it wasn't
definitely,
really a guiding principle.
Yeah.
So I was a musician by training. I went to school to become a teacher of music, and I didn't really get a job in public school. I went to several interviews, didn't make a job. And the career placement office said, the school for the blind in South Carolina, where I'm from,
yeah,
and where I went to school. They said, the School for the Blind is looking for a music teacher. Bing. I was like, this sounds interesting. This sounds like something. So I walked into that interview, you know, as a committee interview, first of all. You know,
well, those are very intimidating. You don't know where to look or who to look at. And you don't have eye contact with everybody, so to speak. And it's tough. Yeah, you don't know how you did until you find out later, I guess.
You'd think it would be intimidating, but I was like, this is what I want. I can remember that interview to this day. I can remember the people. And some of those people are still friends of mine that I still remember to this day. So I went into that interview. I knew this job was mine. And the rest is history. I love those kids. But you know what? I didn't treat those kids any differently than any other student.
That's key.
They're just kids.
Yeah.
And they just want to learn. They want to grow. And we just did crazy plays and musicals. And I taught them all piano, how to play. I'm a piano teacher and a vocal teacher.
It's incredible.
So we just did music. And then I taught computers with the kids. And I taught daily living skills with the kids. And I just kind of evolved in my education. Then I became I call it demoted to principal. and then I moved up to the Perkins School for the Blind from South Carolina. I went to Perkins, which is sort of the mothership, we call. It's sort of where the Helen Keller story originates. You know, Annie Sullivan was a student. She's the teacher of Helen Keller, who went to Alabama. And she was at the Perkins School for the Blind. So I went to Massachusetts, to Boston, where I lived for 10 years. And I was the principal at the same school where Annie Sullivan was a student. So I was at the same school. I was the principal at the same place.
It's incredible.
Literally. Wow. And so that was so moving. So I would give people tours. They have a wonderful museum at this. It's a beautiful campus. It's a very, very historical campus. I give people tours, and there's this globe. Helen Keller herself used this globe. It's a tactile relief style map globe. I'd give people tours and say, this is the globe that Helen Keller actually used. And I couldn't stop like crying.
Yeah, that's even you saying that, it's just so moving that there's that much that they can learn about from you, and you appreciate it, you know, from starting with your grandfather. And did he live long enough for him to see you in this role, like the work that you're doing?
He did.
That's incredible.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that he really... he wasn't a Braille. He actually, the only thing that he did really do as a blind person that is similar to what I do is he got the recordings for the blind from the Library of Congress. That's a thing.
Yeah.
So you can get libraries, you know, books from the Library of Congress. And in those days, they were these floppy vinyl recordings, like a record.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your listeners know what a record is.
Oh, like, yeah. It had a little hole in the middle, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. It was almost like, it wasn't as, a vinyl record is kind of hard. It could be like a coaster or something.
Right.
But these are those sort of floppier ones you might have put in a booklet, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would be Time Magazine. All kinds of magazines, periodicals would come through the mail from the Library of Congress. My grandfather would have them. And on the special record player at his house in Florida, they, you know, retirees go to Florida.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
That's what he did. And he had these recordings. And notoriously, I would be, you know, caught red-handed playing with his recordings for the blind. Rob, you were messing with
my recordings. That's not meant for you. But you're like, well, actually, you learned from that, though. Yeah, you were like mixing and scratching, you know, an early DJ. And that's really cool. And then for somebody, getting back to real quick about who you serve, the difference between low vision, like what would constitute low vision for someone? Like, I mean, I've always needed glasses or contacts since I was in the third grade.
But, right.
And I don't have the best vision in the world. But what is considered low vision?
Yeah, low vision is, so with best correction, the cutoff is a correction acuity of 20 over 70.
Gotcha.
So, and there's a visual field issue too. So if your visual field is restricted, the amount that you can see around you, or your acuity correction. So with glasses, 20 over 70. And then the legal cutoff for blindness is 20 over 200. Now, people with 20 over 200 level of blindness can still see a lot oftentimes. Quote, I mean...
Yeah, more than you might think. Yeah,
more than you might think. And a lot of times people come on campus and a lot of the students have usable vision. And people might even think, are these students really blind? But in fact, they are. They can't see, you know, the paper, the print, the book that you're giving them, but they can walk maybe independently, some of them. Now, we do have a high concentration of kids that are totally blind. Now, that's, you know, the number of students that are totally blind compared to those who have some vision is a very small number, because 2,200 and, you know, that range, it is a definite range and span between total blindness and low vision.
Yeah.
But so blindness is, by definition, is just a numbers game. It's 20 over 200.
Gotcha. So thank you for making that distinction for us, for those that might be listening that might have had a similar question.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
So tell us a little bit more about what's unique about the curriculum at the Maryland School for the Blind.
Well, we do a lot of things. We talked about the technology.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
We talked about so we do have the residential program, but even the day students can participate in those skills that we build in the residential program. So I talked about cooking. We teach the students how to kitchen skills, how to cook things in the microwave, how to cook things in an air fryer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very, very hot right now in crock pots and all that stuff.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Right. It's really hot.
I'm punny and I didn't even know it.
Yeah. Well, even since my time in this field, there's a whole curriculum around air fryers.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Which is such a funny thing, but it's so brilliant.
But it's necessary and it's just goes to show how you guys are always thinking and growing with the way that technology changes and trends, right. And why not serve your blind students as well in that manner? You should, and I'm glad you do.
Right. Well, so it reminds me of this one student that we have who she graduated last year and brilliant academic, no other disabilities, but couldn't make her way around the kitchen, had a lot of independent living skills issues. Just a lot of things that she needed to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine that if you are not directly taught how to wash your clothes, how to work in the kitchen, how would you know? And so we'd fill in that gap. And so we taught her how to use an air fryer to make a whole dinner. And so in her home and with her family, she did this whole family dinner with her family with an air fryer.
That's amazing.
And when she's totally blind.
Yeah.
This is someone with not even any low vision. She had no vision at all.
Right.
Yeah. And she's so proud of herself.
And she should be. That's incredible. And I love that you teach that. And that's got to be so rewarding for her. I mean, and to get the feedback from her family on a delicious meal that she made. But without those skills, she wouldn't have known how to do that without the Maryland School for the Blind.
Well, exactly. And that's part of the curriculum. You can imagine a lot of skills like that, like how to organize your bathroom materials, your toothbrush, your toothpaste, how to use soap.
In a way that makes sense for them. Yeah, absolutely. That's important.
How to dispense shampoo from a bottle of shampoo. Now, of course, now we have make sure everybody uses a pump. But mm-hmm. There was a
like a hotel or something that you've probably used many times. Yep.
Right. And so oftentimes we help the families to raise their expectations for their children. So you can imagine that sometimes families, well-intentioned, well-meaning, loving. Parents love their kids, but may not have the expectations that their children can cook the whole family dinner like that. And so we help the families to raise their level of awareness and expectation too, so that they can. So I remember one time we had a student in South Carolina. The student would only come for summer camp, and suddenly he didn't come for several years. And then he came back, and the residential staff came to me and said, "Rob, you won't believe this." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, the student was in the shower washing his hair and said, come help me, come help me." And she said, "What? What do you want?" And he had squeezed the entire bottle of shampoo on his head. It was coming down his face, you know, this shampoo, because he didn't know how to dispense shampoo from a bottle. His parents were still overhelping him.
Yeah.
And just like that expectation.
That independence, as much as you possibly can have, makes a huge difference.
Right. So that's one of the things that we do is we go into people's homes. We help the parents, the families set up the bathroom, set up the kitchen, set up their bedrooms to organize their clothes so the family can see what success looks like.
Yeah.
So the families can be successful.
That's
too.
As important as anything else that you teach. Yeah, honestly, it really gets you on the road to as much independence as you can possibly have.
Absolutely.
And more as you continue to expand your curriculum to include other things that might be something that, you know, the rest of us use as well. Why not be so inclusive and include everyone? That's incredible. And tell us a little bit about your See Beyond Festival, which is coming up in a couple of weekends. How long have you been doing the See Beyond Festival?
Well, this is our fourth year.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a community-wide festival. I think of it as a great big family festival, but anybody can come, whether you have a family or not. Anybody is welcome to come. There's something for everyone to come. There's activities such as food trucks. There's shopping. Local artisans come and bring their artistry for people to come and purchase. There's live music. There's just all kinds of fun activities, including sports. So, for example, you could try your hand at blind lacrosse or blind baseball or blind soccer or running the track under a blindfold. So everybody who comes will get a free blindfold, a light shade, that will allow you to experience these things as though you had no vision. Now, nobody can really experience not having vision as though you are a blind person.
Not completely. Yeah, exactly. Right. But you could sort of maybe get some understanding about what someone may be going through.
Right. No one can have that lived experience. We don't want to pretend like that is what we're doing. But the goal is for people to understand what it's like when you have the right adaptations and when the world is accessible. And so the purpose and the mission, the sneaky mission behind this very fun event where there's lots of fun things for everybody to do, is for people to understand that when you make things accessible and when the adaptations are in the right, are there for everyone, then more people can participate. The world is not just for blind people, but for anybody who needs adaptations, then everybody can participate.
And tell us, this is coming up Saturday, April 26th.
April the 26th from 11 until 3 p.m.
Perfect. And then is it, what was I going to say? And it's at your Maryland School for the Blind. So that's a way for people to see your campus, see your students, kind of get immersed in what you do there every day.
Right. It's on the campus, 3501 Taylor Avenue. Go to our website, seebeyond.org. And you're welcome to, I just want to mention that if you register, and you don't have to register, but it does help us with our counts.
Yeah, it's always helpful to know how many to expect.
but you can just show up. You can totally show up. But I'll tell you what, if you do register, we are offering some prizes.
Ooh, and do tell.
We're offering some Meta Ray-Ban, the brand name.
Good brand.
Smart glasses. They're fashionable and they're smart. And these are special glasses that blind people are using to help them navigate the world. They're really cool.
I can't wait to check this out. This is amazing.
They're very expensive, by the way.
This is the only place we can see them.
And then MetaQuest 3 VR goggles. So that's something anybody can use, like these VR goggle things. They make me dizzy. But you can
you
register.
May enjoy them.
But if you register, you'll register for those prizes as well.
Yeah, and your regular website is marylandschoolfortheblind.org, but See Beyond, is it seebeyondfestival.org?
seebeyondfestival.org to pre-register.
And that's like a page on your, you know, off of your main website,
right,
too.
Right.
And you guys are literally, I don't think I've ever seen a nonprofit on as many social media platforms as you guys. You're on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and what's the other one? TikTok?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So is this an important part for you guys too of what you do to get the word out in any way, shape, or form you possibly can?
Well, you know, quite honestly, I can't keep up with all of it.
I know, but, I can't either. I was like, what does that icon stand for? I'm like, is it TikTok or Pinterest? It was TikTok.
I try to reshare my own stuff at my own school, but it is important. We try to get the word out, try to reshare, and try to get other people to reshare, because it's only through the power of other people resharing our stuff that the word
exactly
gets out there.
The likes, the shares, the retweets, whatever it is. However you can reach people in a way that maybe you hadn't before, I think it becomes incredibly important. And what else is new at the Sea Beyond Festival this year in your fourth year? Like to every year, you're probably planning this like the day after the festival going, what do we want to do next year?
Yeah.
What were some of the things you came away with last year where you're like, oh, we got to try this?
No, we have some very special new things that we have not done before. So this year we have a special emphasis on STEM, which you might know is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So please come out for that. We're partnering with the Maryland Science Center for Special Activities and Learning Undefeated. Now, Learning Undefeated is this organization. They're fabulous. We've had them at our school, but they bring these mobile units, science learning units that come out to low, especially underserved educational locations like schools, and teach science concepts. So you'll come and experience what they do at Learning Undefeated. So please come out there for that. As robotics, gaming, photography for blind people. We do that.
It's incredible.
And technology. That's another thing that we teach too, by the way.
Yeah.
We teach robotics, gaming, technology at the School for the Blind.
All that. And then I love that every time we talk to a nonprofit, we learn about another nonprofit from another nonprofit. Like Learning Undefeated, I hadn't heard of them before. But, you know, you've just enlightened me for a whole nother world that is out there doing good work in the community.
Well, I hadn't learned about them either until we started partnering them with our school. They started coming out and doing great work with our students. And they'd like to bring their truck out and our kids get to participate in more wonderful learning activities with them. Another thing that we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Tell me. There's more.
We partnered with Baltimore Clay Works.
Oh, cool.
They're wonderful. And so they are helping us with this mosaic that we're installing on our campus. So everyone who comes can create a tile with their Braille initials. And this tile will be installed in a mosaic that will be permanently part of the MSB campus. So you can literally leave your mark at the MSB campus.
Quite literally. What a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
That's a great partnership to have. It sounds like you don't do it alone, that's for sure.
No.
Because you have so many great partners that you've mentioned and so many more you probably haven't had time to mention.
Oh, so many volunteers, so many wonderful people.
Yeah. And that being said, how, you know, get in our final minutes here, besides the Sea Beyond Festival, is there a way that people listening can help? What are some things that you guys really need right now? You are a nonprofit organization, so I'm sure donations are always, you know, appreciated and encouraged. But what's the best way that we can help serve the Maryland School for the Blind to continue doing the great work you do?
Well, if you'll just go onto our website and go through the links and just contact us that way, we'll be sure to connect you and connect you with the right people that you can. We would love to have your help.
Yeah, that's amazing. And any other things, you know, do people need to buy tickets to attend the Sea Beyond Festival? You were saying, but it's a good idea to get a head count. But if they happen to roll up because they see it going on in the neighborhood and they're like, oh, what's this?
Right. There's no tickets. There's no admission. Just bring your family. Come on out. It's going to be a great day. Rain or shine. We had a rain. It did rain one year and we did everything in the gym and it was still a fantastic day. So rain or shine, just come up. We just want you to come out and enjoy the day.
Yeah. And for other people, we've got about 2 minutes left. So if there's somebody mm-hmm. listening that's like, well, why should I go to the Sea Beyond Festival instead of doing something else? What, you know, the important thing about this festival, about how, you know, why you host it and who it serves and why it's so important for other people that might not be as familiar with the Maryland School for the Blind to see what you do in action and how you help people.
Well, we really want to encourage people to understand what we do at the school, to see our campus. And we want the community to understand that adaptation, seeing what that does. When you experience it yourself, when you play lacrosse, soccer, I mean, we have kids that play soccer. We have blind, totally blind kids that play soccer by themselves,
yeah.
but with the right adaptations, what that means. There's a story I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I had lunch with a student and he said, Mr. Hare, I love sports. I love soccer, and I love after school, it's going to be soccer season. I get to play soccer. I said, that's so great. I'm so glad. He said, then I can't wait for goalball. Goalball is another sport.
Yeah.
I love playing goalball. And then I go home and I play sports with my dad after school. I said, that's so great.
That's amazing.
And then, but what you don't know, what the audience doesn't know, is this student has multiple disabilities and has a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
And that's the power of a special school.
Yeah.
That offers all these sports and all these activities for our students.
Thank you for ending on that note, because that is so inspiring. And I know producer Greg behind the scenes, he's getting teary-eyed because his stepson is a big soccer fan. And just knowing how important it is to spend time together with your kids and the things that they love to do. And you made that possible for him. Just that, just that's an example of so many people that you inspire and you help every day to get that accessibility and do the things that they love and to be kids.
Yes.
You know, with the tools that they need to do so. So we really encourage everybody to check out the See Beyond Festival, which is coming up Saturday, April 26th at the Maryland School for the Blind. And again, what's that dedicated website that will also, it's a page on your main website too, where you can learn about the event, sign up, tell people you're coming, or just roll up and have a good time.
It's the seebeyondfestival.org. Come on and pre-register and register for some prizes.
Perfect. And we've been talking to Superintendent and CEO of the Maryland School for the Blind, Rob Hare. You're an incredible person. And you're funny. You're generous. And you do such amazing work in the community. And we want to thank you so much for all you do and for being here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. We look forward to talking to you too in the future. You guys, thank you for listening to this production of Odyssey Baltimore.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.